We're on a train from one of Latin America's most famous colonial cities, Cusco, in the high Andes of Peru, and we're going to Machu Picchu, the continent's greatest archaeological site. Cusco was the capital of the Inca civilization that ruled a large part of Latin America until the Spaniards arrived here in 1532. Right now, we're going through the sacred valley, through dramatic mountain landscape at a height of over 3,000 meters. Before we begin to wind our way down to the rainforest mountains and Machu Picchu. Just as Machu Picchu has become the symbol of Peru's great historical past, of course the panpipes have become the dominant musical sound of the Peruvian Andes. Over the next 3 weeks, we visit Peru's rainforest, the desert coast, Lima, and the high Andes where we are now. I'm hoping to dig a little deeper than the often misrepresented Andean cane flutes and panpipes and discover the wealth of music ranging from the harp of Ayacucho to the glorious but little-known saxophone orchestras of Huancayo. Music that's influenced songwriters and composers from Paul Simon to Olivier Messiaen. But more than that, it's powerful music with an ancient heritage that brings together the diverse elements of a vast country with a colorful and turbulent history. The most beautiful veranda. I think it's the biggest veranda I've ever been on. It must be about 100 meters long. And I've never seen a veranda that was this enormous, that belonged to just one house. This is the Hacienda San Jose, and it's one of the oldest haciendas or ranches in this province, the province of Chincha, which is south of Lima, the capital of Peru. The house and the church, which is right next to it, were built in 1688, and all around us are cotton fields and sugarcane fields as well. It's a three-hour drive due south of Lima along the Pan-American Highway. On one side, you have enormous sand dunes. You're actually traveling through complete desert, and on the other side, a very dramatic coastline We've come here because this is the center of the small Afro-Peruvian community that carry on very special traditions which are unique to them. These are the descendants of Peru's slaves, and slavery is still just within living memory because even though it was abolished in the mid-1850s, in fact, in places like this hacienda, it continued to be practiced right until the early 1900s. Underneath this stunning veranda is a very grim reminder of the legacy of slavery here. I'm going into a small vaulted room, very damp room, and this was where the slaves were brought to be punished if they rebelled against the landowners or if they tried to escape. And right here, there is an iron bar to which shackles are attached. And these shackles would be removed from the iron bar and they would be put around the legs of the slaves with their hands tied behind their backs. They'd be beaten and then left here until they were nearly dead to set the example to the rest of the slaves to behave themselves. Well, the descendants of these slaves live in a small community nearby, which is called El Carmen, and today is the last day of their annual fiesta, the celebration of the founding of El Carmen. Well, this is El Carmen. It's just a small town with low-rise, single-story buildings, no cars, very, very simple houses, whitewashed houses. And this is the house of a very famous musical family here, of the Afro-Peruvian community, and they're called the Bayumbrosios. What is so special about this family, Jorge?
Amador Bayumbrosio is the father of 16 kids, who has the heritage of his music. They are the very last that continue with the tradition, for example, of the zapateo. That is a kind of dance. In Lima, in other places, it's more stylish.
Stylized,
yeah. But here they preserve the tradition of the zapateo as it began in the maybe 18th century. They are the only ones who know how to do that way. So that makes them very special. And this old man makes the promise to preserve that way of playing, and he teaches to his 16 sons. They are all musicians. Now their sons are going to preserve that tradition.
Oye, tu Ruperta ya te has quedado.
Ruperta ya se ha quedado.
Mira tu Ruperta ya te has quedado.
Ruperta ya se ha quedado.
Oye, tu Ruperta ya te has quedado.
Ruperta ya se ha quedado.
Mira tu Ruperta, ya te has quedado.
Ruperta ya se ha quedado.
Oye tu Ruperta, ya te has quedado.
Ruperta ya se ha quedado.
Mira tu Ruperta, ya te has quedado.
Ruperta ya se ha quedado.
Well, that was a style of music called Landó, which is one of the Afro-Peruvian styles, and it was played by members of the family Mayumbrosio here in El Carmen. As we've been hearing, it's one of the most famous families in the Afro-Peruvian tradition, so it's quite an honor to be here and to be with the eldest member, the sort of the patriarch of this family, whose name is Amador Mayumbrosio. Tell me about your family. How did you come to be in this village? How have you come to be playing music?
Sí, de la familia, pues, tiene siglos acá viviendo ya. Pero ellos no han sido descendientes de esclavos. La única descendiente de esclavos era mi abuela.
My family has been living here for centuries. Although none of us is the descendant of slaves, the only one who was my grandmother. They captured her and brought her to Cañete by boat. She was then sold along with another girl, a friend of hers. She was 12 at the time, so she was aware of what was going on. Later in their life, they would buy a bottle of cascarilla and cry as they drank and remember their motherland. She was from Ethiopia originally. She was 1.90 meters tall. She used to carry some huge loads on her head. She could dance and sing with such passion. She was a good woman, my grandmother. I would say, "Don't cry, Grandma. Dry your eyes." She used to cry about how they caught her, how they treated her. Even when they freed all black slaves at the time of the independence, she kept working there in Cañete. It was only during the Pacific Wars, towards the end of the 19th century, that she and her friend escaped. They came all the way here from Cañete on foot.
So you've had 16 children with your wife, and are you all musicians?
Yes, that's right, 16 with my wife. But my profession, my living is being a builder. I am a builder through and through. I learned the violin when I got married because the violin teacher here was 96 years old and was losing his ability to play.
Your family are going to do a zapateo for us, a sort of heel stomping, almost like tap dancing. Tell me about this tradition, because it's great to watch.
El pandolillo es una danza, bueno, creada por los grandes compositores.
The zapateo is a religious dance. When the Spanish came over, they used to beat people here very badly. And so one such song would say, "Father, heal my wound. I promise to behave well and fulfill my obligations. Father, watch over me, please. Cleanse me of all my ills." This kind of song would raise people's spirits and offer relief. People really had nothing to cling on to. There were so many terrible things happening here. And so this feeling was interpreted rhythmically, and that is what the zapateo developed from. Another song goes like this. "It is getting late, and the sun is trying to go down, and the people don't want to go out to work, I don't know what it is inside me that makes me want to dance, but I've got the bug that makes me want to dance. Let everyone leave work and get drunk, and you expect me to respect you, Corporal. Don't be incompetent. Do something, and do it good. 'Cause if you don't, you know they're going to beat you with sticks.
The zapateo, the tap dancing, is, in fact, it's a combination of music from the mountains, from the Andes, and music from the coast.
Pero, serrano,
yes, the zapateo comes from the mountains. It is a mountain tradition through and through. People would travel from the mountains to here, and they would bring their violins and their guitars, and they would compose music here. Each person does their beat. I, for example, have always been the chief of one of the pastoral zapateo groups. So I have a certain responsibility for preserving the tradition. In fact, when I fell in love, I lost interest. But my mother said to me, "No, this is your heritage." And so it's something I must preserve until the day I die. So I was made to carry this responsibility, to teach people and to teach my own children. Sometimes I would have rows with my wife over it, but still, this is my role, and I maintain it.
Well, whilst we've been talking, three members of this family, of the Bayum Brosio family, have rushed down the street, and they've come back with their tap dance shoes, and they're going to do the Pan Alivio dance. And it's called Atajo de los Negritos, which means the shortcut of the black folk. And this is by the head of the family, Amador Bayum Brosio. Family Bayum Brosio playing Atajo de los Negritos in El Carmen, a village which is at the source of Afro-Peruvian music. And I've now made the three-hour drive straight up the coast, due north, to the capital of Peru, Lima, and to the home of this country's most celebrated Afro-Peruvian singer, who is Susana Baca. And we've set up a little studio in the kitchen of her beautiful house. She's invited two of her musicians to join her, Sergio Valdeos on guitar and Juan Medrano Cotito, who's just known as Cotito, on cajon. They're both legendary here on the Afro-Peruvian scene, and here they are with Susana's famous song, Negra Presuntuosa.
Algo de mí se ha perdido. Entre tu calle y mi casa seré el calor que no habrás, no es de gozo, no es de ir, como tampoco es mentira que algo de ti se ha escondido entre tu calle y mi alma. la esperanza de un cariño adormecido. Yo sabré reír, yo sabré llorar, yo sabré entregarte mi cariño. Presuntuosa, que me estoy muriendo, vida de tu boca, que me está pisando los talones de la libertad.
Negra,
negra que te quiero, negra presuntuosa, que me estoy muriendo, vida de tu boca, que me está pisando los talones de la libertad.
Negra,
negra que te quiero, negra presuntuosa, estoy muriendo, vida de tu boca, vida de tu boca, ay, 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 dame, 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 dame de tu boca, negra presa.
Well, that was Negra Presuntuosa. It's a rhythm which is called Landó, a typical rhythm of the Afro-Peruvian community here in Peru. And this is Susana Baca here in her home in Lima. And the title of the song means something like coquettish black girl, a woman who's confident of her beauty. Actually, this was the very first song that I heard by Susana Baca. It was the opening track on the album that she recorded for David Byrne on the label Luaca Bop. And this was my introduction to the subtle and the angular rhythms of Afro-Peruvian music that I love so much. And it was also this song that introduced many people around the world to this little known and utterly delightful tradition of Afro-Peruvian music. It's a song that celebrates the beauty and the power of black women, but there's a twist to it because it ends by saying, look, I'm dying. Give me life from your mouth. The heel of the military boot is stepping on my freedom. So, Susana, we've just come from El Carmen, where we heard Cajon, such as we've just heard now, played by your wonderful musician, Cotito. And you come from a place very near El Carmen, which is El Cañete. Tell me about your origins as a singer and your background as an Afro-Peruvian singer.
Bueno, mis orígenes están realmente en Cañete. De allí viene la familia de mi madre.
My roots are really in Cañete. That's where my mother's family are from, the Colina family. In San Luis de Cañete, which is about 100 kilometers from Lima, people worked harvesting cotton and sugarcane. In poblados, Santa Bárbara, Santa Cruz, San Luis, San Vicente, Imperial, in all these places in the valley, the cotton and sugarcane slavery trade was really alive. And that's where my family comes from. The soil there still holds the sweat and toil of my grandparents and my great aunties and uncles. One of my great grandmothers made a living going around on her mule selling sweets. But she also played the organ in the church at San Luis. Grandma Placida, she was called. So I think that's where my music comes from, my reason for music, the reason for everything that I have.
Susana, the Afro-Peruvian community here is actually quite a small community, and yet it seems to me that it's had a big influence on music here in Lima, at least, on popular music here in Lima. What are your thoughts on this?
Lima, la capital, fue un de gran influencia afroperuana.
Lima has had a huge influence on Afro-Peruvian music, and in Lima there has always been a very present Afro-Peruvian community. As I like to say, the color, with the mixing of communities, has gradually been diluted, but the culture remains strong. I don't believe that this is a pure culture in its original form. In fact, it has been very mixed. For example, there is a very strong Andean influence, which comes from the movement of workers. Here you had to live either from the cotton or the sugarcane industry. And so these people would be brought by force from the Andean mountains and down to the coast. They were called las golondrinas, swallows. I have seen families waiting at the edges of villages, waiting to be collected by a truck that comes by and takes them from village to village to bring them in the harvest. It is one of the most brutal forms of exploitation, because these people no longer had the means to be self-sufficient in the mountains, so they would come to the coast to work on the cotton or the sugarcane plantation. So black people and Native Americans joined together, and since then we have been making music together.
One of the things that you're very well known for, especially in the Spanish-speaking world, is your special love of lyrics and poems. And you do have a wonderful song by the great Peruvian poet Cesar Vallejo, which is called Eses. And I would love it if you would sing that. It's relevant to what you've just been saying, because actually that music has a very Andean flavor. So I wonder if you just tell us what this poem is about and then sing the song for us.
Este poema de Cesar Vallejo se llama Eses.
This poem by Cesar Vallejo, which is called Eses, takes his name from the old-fashioned Spanish, in which they would say, for example, drink the wine to the very bottom, to the very base, to the deepest depths of the Eses. Cesar Vallejo was from the north in the mountains, and he had to emigrate to Lima to make a name for himself and to be heard. He was never able to get used to the gray skies of Lima. This made him desperately unhappy, and so his song speaks about that. It has been a real challenge to sing the words of Vallejo, how to express what he says without ruining it. Singing poetry is a huge challenge, almost like singing in an opera. You have to interpret that character to say something so essential that it really touches people. And sometimes you succeed in it, and sometimes you don't. That's the way it goes.
Esta tarde llueve mucho y no tengo ganas de vivir, corazón. Esta tarde es dulce porque no ha de ser, viste gracia y pena. Viste de mujer, esta tarde en Lima llueve y yo recuerdo las cavernas crueles de mi ingratitud, mi bloque de hielo sobre su amapola más. No seas así, mis violentas flores negras y la bárbara y enorme pedrada y el trecho glacial y pondrá el silencio de su dignidad con óleos quemantes el punto final. Por eso esta tarde, como nunca, yo voy con este búho, con este corazón, y otras pasan, y viéndome tan triste, toman un poquito de ti en la abrupta arruga de mi hondo dolor. Esta tarde llueve como nunca y no tengo ganas de vivir, corazón, y no tengo ganas de vivir, corazón.
Well, that's Susana Baca singing in her house in Lima, Peru, in the neighborhood which is called Chorrillos, which is an old Afro-Peruvian neighborhood very near the Pacific Ocean. And that was with the guitarist Sergio Valdeos, and the song was Eses. The words are by Peru's most famous poet, Cesar Vallejo. For many of us, Susana, we first came across your work through the album that you did for the label Luaca Bop, which was the brainchild of David Byrne. David Byrne, the musician, the producer, and of course also the front man of the American rock band Talking Heads. So what was that encounter like for you, and what did that do for you?
Nosotros buscamos a los famosos. Los famosos no nos buscan. Entonces fue rarísimo desde un principio.
Well, usually we are the ones who have to track down famous people, not the other way around. So it was very strange for such a famous and important man to suddenly inquire about us and me and about our work. He had got hold of a recording and video of me singing María Landó, a poem by César Calvo. So it was very exciting to find that suddenly they were calling us from his office to say that he was coming to visit and could we choose a restaurant to go and have dinner in. We said to ourselves, why go to a restaurant? What better restaurant than our house? And so he came to eat at our home, and it was truly a beautiful occasion. Later, we made the first record in a studio in Peru. I think David has been a very important figure in my life. He opened a lot of doors for me and for my music to be heard. One day in Boston, I experienced something very special. I had just finished a set, and David was there taking our pictures. And a lady came up and said to him, thank you for having brought Susana Baca to us and make us listen to her. So that was very exciting indeed.
Susana, I'm wondering what effect that encounter with David Byrne and those albums that you did with him has had on your career here in Peru.
Bueno, aquí en el Perú, un poco difícil. Me acuerdo que yo cantaba para mis amigos.
Here in Peru, it's been a bit more difficult. I remember I used to sing for my friends, for very small groups of people. I couldn't find any musicians. They were either very young or into playing rock, or very old and unwilling to move their traditional music into a new direction. So I found myself caught between these two generations, and for a long time I sang a cappella. He was the first person to have believed in me. By the time David Byrne found me, he found a woman who had a course, a way, a style, and no intention of changing any of that for the sake of becoming famous. So that was the most wonderful thing about meeting David Byrne, that he was so respectful of my music and my sound.
Susana, you said that you started your career just singing a cappella. Would you sing something a cappella for us? And what will it be?
La Copla de la O, que es un poema.
La Copla de la O is a poem dedicated to all the illiterate poets who don't know how to write but know how to compose verse. Saña is a place on the north coast of Peru, which is famous for such people, improvisers, people who make up verses and poetry. It's an extraordinary place. I have spent months at a time there listening to their music. When we were there, we made a recording of a 91-year-old man singing a golpe tierra and playing the calabaza, a pumpkin. Shortly after, the old man passed away. It was almost as if in allowing us to make these recordings, he made us heirs to his heritage.
Yo no conozco la voz. Me dicen que es redondita. Mi madre tan pobrecita que a mí no me la enseñó. Yo no conozco la O. Las letras se van al diablo, porque escribirlas no sé. Pero yo cuando les hablo, todas se ponen de pie. Todas se ponen de pie.
That was Susana Baca, Peru's great diva of the Afro-Peruvian tradition, singing specially for us in her home in Lima. The song was Golpe Tierra. That's a traditional verse from the north of Peru, and it's about the power of the oral tradition and the fact that the slaves were denied access to writing, but nevertheless continued with their song traditions. Well, here we are in Lima on a very beautiful day. Unusually, the sun has come out, because it seems like there's a constant blanket of cloud hanging over the city. In fact, it's quite like London weather, Jorge. I think one of the things that people may not realize about Lima is that it's an enormous port. In fact, you were telling me that it's the most important port on the Pacific coast of South America.
Actually, the port is called El Callao. Lima was this great city here in South America since it was founded by Francisco Pizarro in 1500s.
Because Lima was actually the capital of the Spanish Empire in South America, wasn't it?
Yeah. In that day, Peru was also what is now Ecuador and Bolivia and Chile.
Well, I first came to Lima as a child. I visited the city, and in my childhood memory, it was a much, much smaller place. Mm. It seems to me that Lima has grown enormously in the last 50 years or so.
It has a huge development, speaking of population, since the 1940s or 1950s, because a lot of population from other cities in Peru, like Arequipa, Trujillo, Huancayo, the other great important cities, came here to Lima because they don't find the opportunities they need.
And what's the population of Lima in comparison with the country?
The population in Lima is about 10 million people, and the whole population of the country is 28 million, so...
Nearly a third.
Nearly a third, yeah.
Susana Baca's house is in a district of Lima called Chorrillos, and we're in the next district along, also by the Pacific Ocean. And this district is called Barranco,
yeah,
which actually means cliff, and it's because it's quite dramatic, the cliff that goes down to the sea. We're on a wooden bridge that leads us to a very special place.
Yeah.
There's a statue here of Lima's probably most famous woman singer,
yeah,
Chabuca Granda.
Chabuca Granda was this great, very famous and important singer and composer of Creole music. She was born in a copper mine, actually, not in Lima, in 1920. She was born in a copper mine in Apurimac in the Andes. But she actually became famous after her divorce, which was a great scandal here in Lima, a very conservative society. And then she began to compose about Lima in the 1800s. And she sang also about Barranco, this place we are here, because she used to live in this neighborhood. There are big houses, big wooden houses. And from that period, we have her most important and popular songs, like Fina Estampa, José Antonio, and we have her most famous song that actually describes Lima, that old but beautiful city of Lima, and it's called La Flor de la Canela.
Déjame que te cuente, limeño. Déjame que te diga la gloria del ensueño que evoca la memoria del viejo puente del río y la alameda. Déjame que te cuente, limeño, ahora que aún perfume el recuerdo, ahora que aún se mece en un sueño el viejo puente, el río y la alameda. Menudo pie la lleva por la vereda que se estremece al ritmo de su cadera. Recogía la risa de la brisa del río y al viento la lanzaba del puente a la alameda.
That was a recording of Lima's most famous diva, Chabuca Granda, who died in 1981. And it's a song that I've heard many, many times. I think it's very well known around Latin America. It's called La Flor de la Canela, the cinnamon flower, and it's a tribute to Lima. The first verse says, "Let me tell you, girl from Lima, let me tell you about the glory of the dream evoked by the memory of the old bridge, the river, and the poplar grove," all of which are very potent images here in Lima. I mean, we're standing on an old bridge right next to the statue of Chabuca Granda. We're in Barranco. And Barranco is also a place where there's a very famous club or peña called Don Porfirio, and that's where we're heading next.
Yeah, it's another spot for Creole music, if you like, because Chabuca Granda, for example, was this composer who came to change some of the rules of composing Creole music and of singing Creole music. These people in Don Porfirio, these musicians, are keeping the tradition as it was when first Creole jaranas, as we call the parties for the Creole music, were given here in not only in Barranco, but also in old and traditional districts of Lima, like La Victoria and Barrios Altos.
Tell me about the tradition of peñas, and tell me about Don Porfirio.
The peña tradition is like a friends meeting, you know. For example, here in Don Porfirio, the music starts at 11 at night and never stops until 5 a.m. in the morning, live music. And that's because musicians that came from their gigs at 3 a.m. in the morning came to Don Porfirio just to enjoy the music with their friends, with their fellow musicians. So that's a tradition that this Peña of Don Porfirio is keeping alive.
And what kind of music can we expect to hear in Don Porfirio?
It's what we call Creole music, and it's the old Creole waltz that was played from the end of the 1800s with acoustic guitar and a cajón, this instrument that was borrowed from the Afro-Peruvian tradition.
How important is this music?
It's very important, not only in Lima, but all over the country. It's like our national music, you know. Even there's a day of the Creole music.
Really?
So it's very, very important, yeah.
Who was Don Porfirio?
Porfirio is actually named because of Porfirio Vázquez, who was this black man who lived here in Lima about the beginning of the 20th century. And he was this great singer and dancer of Creole music. His son, Abelardo Vázquez, founded this place in honor to his father, and he decided that every Friday night they open the door of his house, because it's actually his house, the Peña is in the first floor of his house, to friends and everyone who loves Creole music, just to have a jarana, a big party.
El agua de los mares fuera como el almíbar, existir el invierno ni en la imaginación, que en la bella alborada de un día inesperado me hubiera demostrado que tienes corazón. Viajemos a otro mundo, tomados de la mano. No sabes cuánto sufro, tan cruento es mi dolor. Ven, mátame diciendo que mi sufrir fue en vano, que moriré sabiendo que muero por tu amor. Ven, mátame diciendo que mi sufrir fue en vano, que moriré sabiendo que muero por tu amor.
I'm totally thrilled to be here. This is the Peña Don Porfirio, one of the most famous spots for música criolla, for Creole music, here in Lima. It's a very, very atmospheric restaurant and bar with a ceiling of cane resting on giant bamboo logs. And all around us are the photographs of the great musicians of this family, the Vázquez family, who are, including Porfirio Vázquez, who was the godfather, or considered the godfather, of the Creole tradition here in Lima. And in addition, there are loads of photos on the walls of famous people from Latin American music, like Celia Cruz, Ruben Blades, and Oscar de Leon. And there's even a photo of Susana Baca, a very young Susana Baca. And what we just heard was a waltz, the vals. The title of that was Mis Anhelos, which means my desires. And those were various members of the regular Don Porfirio house band, if you like. Jorge Velázquez on first guitar, Ronald Díaz on second guitar, Alfredo Calderón, one of the singers, the other singer is Gabriel Hernández, Manuel Vázquez and Eduardo Balcázar on cajón. Later on, we'll be hearing Carlos Hernández on bongos and the cowbell, as well as Wendor Salgado, also on guitar. Well, I'm here with the owner of this club, who's called Marilu de Vázquez, who's in fact, the widow of one of the great musicians who used to play at this club. Marilu, tell us the history of this club.
Bien, esta peña la fundamos con mi esposo en el 10 de febrero de 1984.
My husband and I founded this peña on the 10th of February 1984 at a venue 10 blocks away from this one. The idea came about as a result of some friends who kept suggesting we should have a place to get together from time to time to play and hear Creole or coastal music. And that's how this peña was born. We call it a Creole peña because it's quite a traditional place where friends can get together. We perform Creole music composed by old writers, waltz, polkas, marineras, all the genre of costeña music, which you don't often hear on the radio or on television.
One of the styles of music that I'm fascinated by, of the costeño, the coastal tradition here in Peru, is the marinera, which I suppose translates as kind of the sailor's dance. Marilu, would you tell me what a marinera is?
Nos referimos a la marinera limeña. Aquí en el Perú tenemos marinera limeña, marinera norteña, hay marinera serrana también, de acuerdo al lugar, ¿no? Marinera arequipeña, puneña.
So we're talking here about the marinera limeña, the marinera from Lima. Here in Peru, we have various types of marinera. Marinera limeña from Lima, marinera norteña from the north, marinera serrana from the mountains. The marinera from Lima conforms to certain rules. It is made up of three quartets, each with a special ending. The first singer starts the first quartet, and the next singer should respond with the same end phrase. Otherwise, the marinera has been broken. So the marinera is very strict in its rules, and anyone who is unfamiliar with it would find it impossible to sing it, let alone dance it.
Yeah. Caribe de la Yaya. Carajo, Caribe de la Yaya. La cuenta del extranjero, tri la la la, tri la la la, caramba, 5 y 1 0,
5 y 1 0, madre, tener quisiera yo ya, 5 y 1 0, madre, tener quisiera yo ya, tri la la la, tri la la la, caramba, se pareciera, tri la la la. Y la, 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 llorando.
That was utterly gorgeous. That was just delightful. That was Marinera Limeña, played by musicians here in the Don Porfirio Peña. Almost like a time warp. I felt as though I was taken back to the 1940s or something. And, you know, I was here as a child in Lima when I was 7 years old, and I do still remember it amazingly. And my father was very, very fond of Peruvian music. We listened a lot to Peruvian music. Marilu, how old do you think this music is?
Bueno, exactamente no se sabe el año en que nació.
Well, we don't know exact what year was conceived, but it was from 1800s. We know that in 1879 it had been named Marinera after the sea by Abelardo Gamarra, el Tunante, who coined the name. There are a number of theories with regard to the origins of the marinera. We believe, though, that it is largely a product of African influence. The zamacueca is considered to be the mother of the marinera. That's what we believe, although there are very different stories.
Marilu, the last piece we're going to hear is called a festejo. It's a rhythm called festejo, which means festive. And it is indeed a very lively dance. Is this Afro-Peruvian music?
Por supuesto.
Oh, certainly, yes. This music is of African origin, and it's one of the most joyful, most contagious dances around. And that's why it's attracting so many young people, because young people are drawn to the festejo. In our Peña, for example, most of our regular audience is fairly mature, but thanks to the festejo, lots of young people come too. They love the music.
Well, I see that some other musicians are coming up on the stage. They've just turned up. There's suddenly a lot of extra percussion on the stage. There are congas. There are also bongos. That's in addition to the cajon, the wooden drum, and, of course, the usual 2 guitars and the 2 singers. We're going to hear a festejo now by the musicians of the Don Porfirio Peña. What's the title of the festejo? What's it about?
Sí, ese festejo es composición de mi esposo. Abelardo Vázquez.
Yes, this festejo was written by my husband, Abelardo Vázquez. Its rhythm is very contagious. It uses the guitar, the cajón, the cajita, the congos, the bongo, the cencerro or bell. And sometimes it also includes the donkey's jawbone. And this combination of instruments creates an overwhelming sense of joy, which is contagious, so that the audience can't help but dance. The title of this festejo is camote asado, which is about different foods. The camote is a sweet root vegetable which is used in a lot of Peruvian cooking, especially in Lima, as an accompaniment to various dishes. So this festejo talks of the camote, the yuca, and a range of other foods and drinks typical of the Creole culture.
Ay, que yo monté en un burro muerto que no me pudo ni tumbar. Arroz con yuca, 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 sancochao, tocó la puerta, el rico le contestó, y el viste que estaba dentro le dijo, silencio que aquí estoy yo. Mister G tocó la puerta y el pico le contestó, y el pico que estaba dentro le dijo, silencio que aquí estoy yo. Arroz con yuca, 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 arroz con yuca y camote asado.